Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca. Burdenless, like, well, you got absolutely nothing. I don't think that that's where God wanted us to be. And Scripture tells us clearly that there are certain burdens we need to be taking up. That actually our faith tells us that we need to carry. And so as I went and looked through all of these and I searched the Scriptures, I realized that there's like 12 different types of burdens. So starting at number one, no, I'm not going to give you 12. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to make this kind of, for me, as I speak on Sunday evenings, kind of my if you hear that I'm speaking Sunday evening, it's going to be, the next three times is going to be on the burdens. To let go of the burden, or perhaps it'll be to pick up the burden. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about three burdens that perhaps you need to let go of. I'm going to talk about one that you need to take up. Sound cool? And Sunday evening is the best time to do it. Because I have come to find that coming up to an altar for 30 seconds and say, God, here's the burden, I've got to go. Everyone is going to Wendy's afterwards. And so if you could really take this burden quickly from me, then I can go and enjoy the fellowship at Wendy's. Sunday evening, you have time. Sunday evening, you have time to sit back. And I have found for me, sometimes it takes 10 minutes for me actually to begin to hear God speak to my heart. And so that's what I'm hoping to do, to talk about, and I'm trusting and praying that God is going to do it. So why don't you let go of the flowers? Well, again, I kind of like the flowers. They kind of are going together with the ensemble that I have, and let me just tell you that I'm strong. I can carry this burden, right? Here we go. Let me just tell you quickly some of the burdens that we carry. The first burden would be one which we'll call the self-burden. What's the self-burden? I kind of had trouble describing the self-burden. The self-burden may not be the best term. Maybe the self-made burden might be the better term, or perhaps the self-caused burden, or the initiated, the sin burden. But sin burden doesn't sound really too nice, but in actuality, I think that that's kind of what it is tied to. There's a psalm, Psalm 38, I think I have the verse up there. If we could go to Psalm 38, verse 4. It's an interesting, the whole book of Psalms, the Psalm 38 is an interesting one. What commentators think about Psalm 38 is this, that it was something that he wrote about while he was dealing with the sin of Bathsheba and Uriah in his life. He wrote this out because he was in agony of some of the things that he had done in his life. It says this, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. There are those burdens, and as you read that, perhaps you might be able to say, hey, I kind of can understand that. So here is a guy who is in agony because of sin that is in his life, sin that has kind of hid there, sin that he has initiated himself. This is not something God intended to put upon him. This is something that it was his own fault somehow in some way, and he's trying to deal with it. Have you ever dealt with self-burden? Perhaps the fact that you have done something that has been regretful. Perhaps you have lived a life that has been regretful, and as you take a look back and you say, God, why was I so stupid? Why did I think that way? Why did I act that way? And we carry guilt. We carry shame. We carry these burdens that are deep inside of us. The burden of regret. Oh, God. Here I had gone so far, and this had taken place, and all of a sudden it just takes one time, and I have blown it, and here I am, and I was so farther ahead, and now I'm back here, and I just feel that weight somehow in some way. The fear of the burden of quitting something that perhaps you shouldn't have quit, the burden of the flesh and failure. All these things somehow take into place, and we live with the thought that if it wasn't for this, if I hadn't have done this, the decisions that I made, you know, and God doesn't have a, well, you made your bed. You sleep in it. God's not like that. Peter dealt with the self-burden of failure, didn't he? Gee, here I am, the Lord here, trusting. Here I was, a big mouth the whole time, shouting out first, and then when it comes down to it, I'm the one that fails. Living, I imagine he probably lived with that burden his whole life. But if you take a look at John chapter 20, he basically said, I'm taking this from you. You know, God's not a person that's saying, oh, well, that's the way you're going to have to live with that. I didn't have that plan for you. What about Paul? Paul talks about a thorn in the flesh. Many believe that that thorn in the flesh was the fact that he had to live with the guilt that at the very beginning he was killing and he was persecuting Christians. That never left his life. Throughout his ministry, times when he was preaching, times when he was dealing with individuals, many times there was a person in the crowd whose brother or sister was tortured, or his brother's or sister's mother's father was put in prison, killed. But at the time, God says, my grace is sufficient for you in everything that you do. You're here with a burden? You're here with a self-burden? Okay, there's another one. And it's called, but I'll say, the daily burden. And the daily burden is something I think that we can rely on. When that video was played, I could hear the daily burden coming out of his heart, couldn't you? All the things that seem to, and maybe they're all small things, but a whole bunch of small things take place. And after a while, you are just overwhelmed with life somehow in some way. It just gets overwhelming. You know, you have no money left in the budget. You're at the end. Your kids need money for sports. And then your car breaks down. And you're not too sure. You have too much month at the end of the money. How come it's not the other way? Too much money at the end of the month. Has anybody ever experienced that? Can I come to your house and eat or something? I don't know. The daily burden. The daily burden is there all the time. The fact that you're having to deal with issues with your kids all the time. The fact that you worry about your kids all the time. If you're here and you don't have kids, then you may not understand it, but you soon will if you do have children. The fact that you ask yourself, are my kids serving the Lord the way that they should? If you have kids that are wayward, if you had kids that aren't serving the Lord the way you kind of hope that they would serve the Lord, it becomes a daily burden. You think that when your kids turn 18 and you kick them out of the house, well, you don't kick them out of the house. Well, some of you might kick them out of the house. I'm not too sure. Let that read according to the way you deal with your children. We still worry about them. There's still things that are going on in their life, and you worry about it. It's continual. You have a business, you have a calling, and there's deadlines, and there's crunches, and the fact that there will always be things in your family. The daily burden. Psalm chapter 68 says this: praise be to the Lord, to the God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves from the sovereign Lord and comes escape from death. For some of you want to ask, what is your burden? And you will say to me, well, where do I start? Where do I start, Pastor? There's a great passage of scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And the reason I understand this one, because I was part of a Bible quiz, and they said, what's 1 Peter 5, 7? And I said, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. And I was wrong, because it says casting all your care, singular. And I got it wrong because of the letter S. Isn't that a drag? But there's something about that. It's not talking about cares. It's talking about the whole package. God wants the whole package. Isn't that something about the way God works? If you're going to be serving him, if you're going to be following him, he wants the whole package. He wants you to give everything to him. The daily burden, the thing that is always there. You know, you might be here today, and what might be the best thing for you if you take the opportunity to come to the altar tonight? Let me switch hands. I look a little bit better with the flowers on my right, don't you think? But don't worry about me. It's not that heavy. I'm able to carry it. What might be the best thing is for you to come to the altar with a sheet of paper. Write down everything. Write down every burden, everything that is hurting, everything that is taking place, and say, okay, God, here's the burden. I'm at the altar. What I'm going to do is I'm going to symbolically leave them here at the altar. Because God cares about the everyday things that happen in your life. There's a third one, It's a little bit different. I call it the personal burden. And the personal burden is something which is unique to you. Something of great difficulty that may be going on in your life at this time. And you know what? Some people may know about it. Everybody may know about it, or nobody may know about it. I've come to realize that some of the biggest burdens in my life, I never tell anybody about. Have you come to realize that? Or maybe I'm just the only weirdo in the audience here. But there's something about the fact that there is a privacy issue perhaps in us in this day and age, which I'm thinking ought not to be. But every one of us, I could say, maybe has that one thing that you are carrying tonight that is unique to you. It might be a financial burden. It might be a health burden. It might be a I can't pick it out in a million years type of burden. And you hear, it might be a loneliness burden. It might be something that is so deep and so complicated that, you know, it would take a million years to somehow in the natural unload that burden. But the fact is, there are personal things that we keep, and there are pains that we have, and sometimes it just becomes overwhelming. I don't know if I'd ever told this. I think that I have, and if you've heard this story, forgive me. When my daughter was 23, I think she's 28 now, so it's going on 4 or 5 years ago now, she went for a routine checkup, and because she is Angela's family has a condition in some of the families just called Lynch syndrome, and if you have Lynch syndrome, it increases your chances dramatically of having certain types of cancer. And so at a young age, at 23, my daughter had to go for tests, and we didn't think much of it until the doctor sat there and said, no, your daughter has cancer, and we're going to have to remove 80% of her colon. And all of a sudden, you know, you become numb through an experience like this. And so what happened was I was able to hold on to it, okay? It was kind of light, but it was still heavy, if you know what I mean. I don't know if that even makes sense to you. So what ended up going on is that there's these doctors, and you have to go for tests and further tests, and all of a sudden the surgeon comes. After a week, the surgeon comes and says, okay, so this is what we're going to do. It's called a subtotal colectomy, and here's the processes of what's going to happen. And as I am sitting there, because I'm supposed to be the quiet one in the corner while this is taking place, I'm saying, shouting out inside of me, that's my daughter. This is happening to my daughter. If I had a choice, I would rather have it happen to me. But to stop and consider for a second that all this was going to take place. And then they begin to say, well, we'll make a decision if we're going to have chemo after something like that. And just everything. You know how sometimes it's just like a pile, and then there's another pile, and then there's another pile. And then when you're carrying your burden, it's kind of like this. Right? But I don't want to tell anybody. Because I was the one supposed to be a strong one, right? It's kind of the way it is sometimes. So we went through this whole process, and the thing was over, and I could feel a welling up inside of me. It was just welling up. So what happens, we ended up going to a restaurant, which is popular in Southern Ontario. It's called the Mandarin. It's a very popular Chinese food restaurant, and it's always packed, and it's a great. If you ever get a chance in Southern Ontario, go to Mandarin. It's great if you like Chinese food. Anyways, I'm not even getting paid for that. Like, Dale, I'm not going to be fat. So we're in the midst of ordering. People laughing and talking. And they're sitting there. And I lose it. Folks, I lose it. I start bawling, crying uncontrollably, which all of a sudden causes my wife to start crying and my daughter to start crying. And they kind of knew what I was crying about. I just had enough. Right? Then the people around us stop eating, and they say, what did they order? I don't want to order that. Right? The personal burden. The one where you walk around in, and maybe you're walking around like this. For some reason, you don't tell someone. I don't know. Maybe you know a couple people know. But at every particular time in your life, there's probably something that you are carrying that maybe you ought not to. And it might be a self one that you figure God's not going to take because you caused it yourself. Or maybe it's a daily one that continually you hold on to. Or maybe it's that personal one. The one where I'm talking right now and you know exactly the one that I am talking about. But let me leave you with a few scriptures. It says in Psalm chapter 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So if you are here and you are brokenhearted, this is the best time to bring it to God, because God is saying to you tonight, I will take it, I will carry it. And this is something which is true. It's just like, I remember when I was growing up, there was always a poem in everyone's house, Footprints. Remember Footprints or Footsteps or whatever it's called. It's a poem of a person who goes through life and all of a sudden he sees it in heaven, and all of a sudden the darkest valley in their life, there's no only one set of footprints, you know, and say, hey, God, why did you leave me during that time? And God says, well, no, I didn't leave you. What? He carried me. When in the 1980s, newly saved, what we used to do in church services, we would have a soloist. Remember the soloist, folks? No, you don't remember? The soloist. Now, there was a time in the late 80s, I believe, where people would go up, and I would say, if they sing, he carried the weight of the world, I am going to kill myself. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he would carry you. And if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders. Right? Do you remember that song? Thing is, it's no less true today, isn't it? It's no less true today. He's there for you. He's with you. He carries everything. Psalm 46, verse 4, even if you're old, I am he. To the gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and will bear and will carry and will save. Those three things. There's one more. It's a different one. I'll call it the surrogate burden. What's the surrogate burden? Well, it stems from a passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. As Paul is finishing his letter to the Galatians church, he says this, carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. King James Version calls it bear. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's one of those words which is kind of interesting. Carrying a burden, basically, in the word the bear it thing, is to carry something as though it was your own. It's kind of like standing in the gap. And Paul says this, if you are that way, if this is the situation, then what you need to do is you need to carry some of these things. Sorry, I'm switching this burden. It's not that it's too heavy. I'm able to carry it, folks. Don't worry about me. That there is something about the fact that when you do that, you're pleasing God. Because the gospel basically says that he bare your burden on the cross. And so what he does is he calls us to carry things. There are certain things that will be in your life that you were never ever meant to carry alone, that the body of Christ has been necessary to do it. My question I ask myself times as I go through them is, why am I not getting help for this? And so what I said from the beginning, God wants us to perhaps let go of some of the things that are there, but we were never ever meant to be empty-handed. That God has called us to carry the burden, to stand in the gap, to be an Aaron and Hur. Remember that story? I think churches that don't have Aaron and Hurs in them greatly suffer. To carry the weight of ministry, somehow, in some way, to realize the fact that we are in this thing together. And then when you do that, when you practice that, there is a blessing there, because you are actually being like Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. He starts off his second letter to the Corinthian church by saying this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Isn't that cool? There's a story of a guy who was Hindu, accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And so what happens is he becomes a missionary in India. And for some reason, he is traveling a long way, and there's this kind of central peak point as you're traveling. It's a monastery that people try to get to in their travels. And so he is kind of linked up with a Buddhist monk. And the Buddhist monk says, listen, you need to realize as you take this journey that we need to get there, because if we don't get there in a certain time, we will die of frostbite, because it's at a point where there's high elevation and there's storms and stuff like that. So you need to stick with me. And so everything is fine until they get to a narrow point where they're on a ridge and there's a deep fall, and he begins to hear a faint voice which says, help me, help me. And the monk looks at him and says, you know what, that is his lot in life. If God is going to help him, he's going to have to help himself to get out of it. And this missionary said, well, no, actually, I think of it this way. The reason that I am here at this particular time is that he wants me to go out of the way to actually help this individual. He says, suit yourself, you're going to die. So he went and trudged on. The Buddhist monk. I don't know, he could have been British as well. But anyways, what happens is he goes down, he takes his blanket, and he wraps it around the individual, and he hoists himself on top of that individual. In the process, he has to go up a steep hill. And so what takes place is, through the exercise and with the warmth of this other individual on his back, he begins to get warm. He begins to be insulated from the cold which is taking place. And even though it's a little bit more of a stress to him as he's carrying this individual along, he eventually sees the light of the monastery. He begins to walk faster and he stumbles. He's wondering what is in the pathway that is so big and this big lump. And he wipes off the snow, and it's the Buddhist monk who had died of frostbite. It was too cold for him. But this individual, because he had exerted the energy and made himself warm and was also feeding off the warmth of the other individual, was able to make it. And they asked this fellow years later, they asked him, what is the life's most difficult task? And without hesitation, this guy says, to have no burden to carry. You see, we are kind of constructed in a way where living burden-free is not necessarily what Christ has called us to do. But at the same time, there are things that we are carrying that we may say, you know what, I kind of like it. Don't worry about me. I'm strong. I will carry it. That God tells us to lay down. And so you're here tonight. And my urgency is this. We got lots of time. God, I pray that you will move. For those who are here who have a burden, who are suffering, who came here and they have said, oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And perhaps people have been carrying these burdens for years and they haven't been meant to. And there's people who are suffering from guilt and anger and regret. And Lord, I'm praying that they'll leave it at the altar. I'm praying, God, that there are people who may have to write a list. There's so many things. And maybe there are people who are here that maybe actually need to sit a little while for God to actually speak to their life. But I pray, God, that you will move. I pray, God, that you will do something deep in our life tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team if they could come up at this particular time. You know what I have found? You know what I have found? That we get this altar thing wrong. We've kind of trained ourselves to say, you know what? I think that we need to come up to the altar because we need to receive from God. But if you stop and consider just for a second, an altar is a place where you come and die. That's what it is. That's what it's all about. Come and die. And the most amazing thing about God is that when we come and die, in his grace and in his love, he just somehow gives out. But my urgency for you today, any person who is here today, is to let it all out. Allow the God of love and mercy to come and minister to your heart. Maybe you're here just to leave something at the altar. Maybe you're just kind of here to bask in the presence of God. Maybe you're here to carry someone else's burden. And may the Lord be with you at that particular time. I'm going to ask us all to stand as we're going to be singing. Got a word from someone in the congregation. Says there's someone who's here has a migraine headache. We'll pray over that. Someone that said a word that was kind of said. It says, don't let fear stop you from doing what you know you are called to do. Whoever that's for. God, I pray that you bless this time. God, I pray, Father, that you will move by your Spirit this particular time. And what we want to do is take advantage of your love and your grace and let go of those things that really you haven't called us to carry, but at the same time, God, to pick up those things that you have called us to carry. So I'm praying, God, that you will anoint this altar at this particular time from the left to the right. I pray that it'll be a time of healing. I pray that it'll be a time of burden bearing. I pray, Father, that it'll be a time where we are able to seek the healing of God, a time where we can just stop our world for a little while and say, God, here I am. Take whatever you have from me and allow the presence of the Holy Spirit to move deeply in our lives. God, move in a powerful way. Move in a righteous way. Allow the presence of God to freely flow in our hearts and our lives tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask, everybody said, amen. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.